So today's title of today's talk class is on the battlefield of life. So when I started searching about spirituality and self-realization and understanding why we are here, I was thinking that to meet a spiritual person, you have to go to the mountains in the secluded place, and or maybe at the bank of a holy river, like Ganges. So, but then, when I saw Bhagavad Gita, at the cover, there is a warrior and his charioteer, and they are talking very, very high wisdom. So I was thinking, why this is being spoken at the battlefield? Now, in our scriptures, like Srimad Bhagavatam, we also have this situation where they are in the mountains, they are on the bank of, like Bhagavatam is spoken at the bank of the river Ganges, Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami, or also between Suta Goswami and the sages of Naimisharanya, it is spoken in the forest of Naimisharanya, which is still existing, and it's a holy place. It's a very powerful holy place, so you can visit when you go to India. And also, high in the mountains sometimes, so in the Bhagavatam, we see when high in the Himalaya mountains, in Badarika Ashrama, that Narada Muni has met Vyasadev, who was very dissatisfied because he wrote many Vedic literature but didn't describe the glories and the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was dissatisfied. So when I saw this image of a warrior who is basically in the middle of the battle, I was thinking, why would wisdom be delivered in such a like a heavy place, such a passionate place? But then, as life went on, thank you, as life went on, I saw that life is like a battlefield, and we are fighting, people are fighting, and there is wars between countries, then there is a war between people within one country, then there is war in the family, between family members, people are fighting, and there is our internal struggle and our internal war, that we are struggling with our own mind and senses. So there is so many wars going on. So life is, in one sense, life is like a battlefield. And if you want to survive in such a situation, what do you have to be? What do you need to be in order to be on the battlefield? What? Warrior. Yes, you have to be a warrior. So warrior means you have to be strong. So now, you may say, but I'm not strong. Some people are strong, they are maybe stubborn, they are maybe have a big ego, but I'm not strong. I am weak and people can misguide me. And okay, you may be weak now, but you can become strong by practice. Like, you see, my hand is very thin, and if I practice for maybe a few months, then it will become strong. I can do more push-ups. Now I cannot do even one push-up or two. Four maximum. So, I can show you now. Okay? You have to pay me. I don't do this for free. You have to buy me one box of Balarams, then I will do 10. So, so by practice one can become strong physically, but also mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So Srila Prabhupada said, practice makes perfect. So practice can make you strong. And so we have to, especially when we pass childhood, then life gets tougher. So for some people, also childhood is tough because maybe they were abused. In like my wife, former wife, she was beaten by her mother like anything when she was small. So some people, I didn't have tough childhood, but she had. But she was small and weak, but she was very bold. She was very bold. So her mother would beat her up, and when she would stop, she would challenge her, she would tease her, she would say, "So did you finish?" Then she would beat her even more. So, but she was not, she was, it's amazing. I mean, she was not so afraid of this beating. And then her father didn't protect her. Her father didn't protect her. If I would be husband of that wife, she would have problems to beat a little girl. So, but then later, she didn't become a cruel person. She became a compassionate person, and now that still she's like this. She was never torturing anyone. She has one daughter. This is my stepdaughter, and she never beat her. I mean, even the girl was more violent than the mother. So, but this was also nothing extreme. So you may have tough childhood, and you may become maybe abuser or a tough person, but you also may become completely opposite. Like Oprah Winfrey, she was also abused as a child, but she grew up to be a compassionate person and helping so many people. So now here in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was faced with a situation to fight with his teachers, with his relatives, with his friends, and it was a very tough decision to make. And he was speculating that, you know, better I go away. I mean, I can't fight against these people. These people are dear to me. So, but Krishna was helping him to face reality. So we always need someone to help us to face reality. We are dreaming about this and that and relationships and this and this. And then someone says, but don't you see the reality? This person doesn't love you. So why are you pushing? Why are you hoping? Why are you dreaming? Or, you know, you can't do that, or you can't do this, or you can do this. You can do this. You think you cannot, but you can. The reality is that there is many more possibilities that you see at any particular moment. Ajay Prabhu, how many fingers do you see here? But you have to answer very quickly. Sat, no. Three. Okay, that's a little trick, just to show you how there is something that is not so obvious, but it's there. So in life also there is opportunities that are there, but they are not so obvious. So if we take a look, we can see. So Krishna was explaining to Arjuna that you think the fact that you have to fight is a problem, but it's actually a great opportunity. So this is a very powerful principle that is there in the Gita, and that many people have discovered that every problem is an opportunity. So how many of you are using this principle in your life? That every problem is an opportunity. You see, every problem is an opportunity. One, two, three, four. Very, well, you can use it, you know. You can try. If you would like to know how, you can come to me. I can help you. Every problem is an opportunity. So how can we turn a problem into an opportunity? How we can turn iron into gold? By asking a question. What this problem is an opportunity for? And then thinking about it or asking a friend, what do you think? What hidden blessings are in this problem? One great blessing in every problem is that we can learn something valuable. isn't it? That we can learn something. So, so Krishna is giving this principle in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, but also he is helping him to face reality. Why many people don't like to come to a life coach? Because he will confront them with the reality and the truth of their situation. And especially, he or she will confront them with the fact that they have to change something. And that's hard. And that's hard. We all are afraid of change. We all have habits that we don't like. We would like to change. But to change a habit, you have to be bold, and you have to be convinced that this is good for me. What is the essence of motivation? The essence of motivation is what's in it for me. It's always personal self-interest, personal interest. I'm not inspired to get up in the morning and chant. Why? Because you are not convinced about the benefit. How much benefit will be there if you get up, do this austerity and chant? But those who are convinced, like Bhagavad Dharma Prabhu, they get up, you have a good sadhana and chant in the morning, like a mind warrior. What happens when the alarm clock rings in the morning? Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. Bam. Turn it off. 5 more minutes. Or snooze. 5 more minutes. But some of you boldly get up, or because you are in the temple, you have to get up for Mangalarati. So that's a good situation to put yourself in. You have to get up. You can't not get up. And start to fight. So battlefield of life. Maybe how do you deal with your sadhana? So I want to go back to this point that Krishna is telling Arjuna, you think you will be in the mode of goodness, you will be calm, you will be meditating, you don't want to fight, you know, because these are your relatives and teachers and friends. But what will they think? You think they'll think Arjuna is nice? No, they will think Arjuna is a coward. Not cowherd boy, but coward. Arjuna is a coward. Arjuna is scared. He's shaking in his boots and ran away from the battlefield because he's afraid of his life. That's what they will think. And infamy is worse than death for a warrior. You better die than be in shame of cowardice and fear. So are you ready to die for a principle? Are you ready? Are you ready to die for a principle that you, or a value, or a principle that you hold on to? How did you feel when you make a compromise in your life with your own values? How did you feel? I believe you felt very, very bad. You felt like, I don't want to say the word, the bad word. You felt very, very bad about it. So it's better to undergo austerity of something difficult than feel so bad that you have made a compromise with your own truth. With your own values, with God's principles, with God's laws. So this is what Krishna is trying to say to Arjuna. You know, actually, he was telling him that in any case you will gain. If you lose and if you win, you will gain. But you have done your duty and you have acted according to higher principle. So we have to recognize what is valuable in life. And what is valuable in life is the truth. But what is the truth? And how to find out the truth? Fortunately, Srila Prabhupada came and he told us that we are in illusion. And he told us also that we originally are Satchitananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. He has highlighted our potential, but he has also highlighted how conditioned we are and how much we are in illusion. So, who of you is bold to confront what he or she needs to change in order to be happy, in order to advance, in order to evolve as a human being? Who of you is ready to do that? This is a challenge that Krishna puts before us through Arjuna, because he challenged Arjuna like anything. And Arjuna took a challenge. Arjuna was very intelligent. First he was arguing and giving excuses, but then he started to listen and to see, yeah, that's good. This is good for me. This is the right thing to do. So if we have someone in our life to speak about what is right thing to do for me, what is the next step, what is the right next step, then we can make good steps forward. We can make right steps, we can make good steps, we can make best steps, and we can advance on our path back to Krishna. But we need to talk to our to devotees, we need to talk to our friends, we need to talk to our guru, we need to listen to what Srila Prabhupada has to say. So you may have kshatriya nature and fight with others, but you also have to fight with your own mind. And you have to conquer your false ego in order to make spiritual advancement. There is this paradigm in the mind of many souls: if you improve, I will be happy. If you change, I will be happy. That's funny. How can you be happy if the whole world is perfect? You can only be happy if you are perfect, if you become perfect. I say, there is three kinds of people. One group is called they should. So how many of you feel you are in that group? They should. You are honest. You get a cookie. Or maybe you're on a diet. Okay, vegan. Gluten-free. The next group is we should. How many of you are in that group? We should. Come on. We should. Yes, we should do something. We should preach. We should. Okay, that second one, this is the middle one. Actually, the first one is the third one. The second one is the second one, and the third one is the first one. And the third one is, I will. You take responsibility. Why aren't you telling me what they should do? Why don't you do something? Then you say, yeah, I'm going to beat them up. All those they whom I don't like, I'm going to beat them up, I'm going to conquer them, I'm going to smash them to pieces, and then I will win. So have you heard about these life paradigms like win-lose, win-win, lose-win, win? Some people only want to win. They don't care if other people lose or win, but they just want to win. And some people always want to win, but the other lose. And some people are victims. They lose. They like to lose, and then others are torturing them or abusing them, and they also enjoy it a little bit. I don't know. It's like weird. Enjoy being victims. So Krishna is showing Arjuna how to do the right thing and how to win in the right way. And Arjuna understood. And Krishna didn't force Arjuna. He said, later in the Bhagavad Gita, he said, itite jnanam akyatam, that I have told you everything, but now you decide what you want to do. Krishna doesn't interfere in our free will. So you don't have to fight. Like, for example, you don't want to expose yourself in the society as a Hare Krishna because you feel ashamed. Like, oh, well, if they identify me with Hare Krishna, I will lose my reputation, or maybe I cannot make money or something. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, if you go to work, you should have a nice suit and tie, or maybe not tie, but just a suit, but have tilak and sikha. You don't have to have dhoti, but tilak and sikha. Or if you're a lady, you don't have to wear a sari, but you can have tilak. So people that ask you, what is this on your forehead? And then you get an opportunity to tell them about Krishna. So if you're a warrior, if you're bold, you will not be ashamed of being a Hare Krishna. I have some friends, they just, when they pass people, they say, Hare Krishna. People smile. Usually they smile. Some of them a little bit like, but usually they like it. Because this devotee also says it in a very sweet way. Or how many of you chant on the counter instead of beads? Okay, it may be practical, I don't mind. But if you want people to ask you, what is this on your hand? You hold it. I remember when I was in London in this double-decker bus, and I would chant my way to service in London and then back, and I would chant on my beads. And sometimes people, they look at my hand, and I know they are curious to see what is he holding inside, so I take the beads and I do like this. And I say, oh, I'm pretending I'm looking to see. And sometimes they would approach me and ask me, so what is this? What are you doing? And I tell them this is mantra meditation and so on. So you can provoke people. Instead of being afraid that they will discover that you are this crazy Hare Krishna, you can provoke them in such a way that they will ask you, what are you doing? And you can create an opportunity to preach. So how many of you would like to do that? Don't have to raise your hand. But and Srila Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada was an amazing warrior on the battlefield of life. He was fighting against Maya. And he inspired conditioned souls who are in Maya to fight against Maya. Against their own Maya, but also against other people's Maya. So he did an amazing miracle. He turned mommy's boys and girls into spiritual warriors. He turned cowards into heroes by his process. So if you want to be successful on the battlefield of life, take guidance of Srila Prabhupada and his vani and his mood also. One devotee told me, I really like Srila Prabhupada when he gets angry. He's so strong. I also like that. Srila Prabhupada sometimes would be... At the end of life, he was apologizing. He said, sorry, I had a danda in one hand, Bhagavatam in another hand. But you see, in order to wake up conditioned souls, you have to be strong. You cannot be wishy-washy or too soft. You have to sometimes be sharp. And he did that. But what people felt, that this person loves us. He doesn't hate us. He gets angry because he sees that we are suffering. That's why he is getting angry at us. Because we are so stubborn, we don't give up illusion. We hold like this. And we just don't want to give up Maya. And we are suffering. And that pains him. It hurts him. Paradukaduki means he is unhappy because others are unhappy. And parasukasuki, only happy when... you are happy. He's also happy. Sarve sukino bhavantu. Let everyone become happy. This is the Vedic aphorism. Sarve sukino bhavantu. So today, somehow by accident, I opened one link, and there was one Indian Mataji. She was telling one story. I want to tell you this story. how to become first-class spiritual warrior and fight in the battlefield of life, especially fight against illusion or Maya. So there was once one disciple who was meditating very nicely for many years. And he would see that Krishna is not appearing before him, or also demigods are not sending beautiful apsaras or heavenly girls to test him. He was also, I think, meditating on these apsaras appearing in front of him. Because he knew from the stories, Vaishnava stories, that sometimes demigods send apsaras to make you fall down. So he said, Krishna is not appearing, apsaras is not appearing, I'm so frustrated. And he went to his Guru Maharaj to complain. And Guru Maharaj said, tomorrow we are going to meet at the river. Come with me. And he said, we are going to have a swim together. And he came with his Guru Maharaj, you know, bona fide Gamsha, Brahman thread, everything. And Guru Maharaj grabbed him by the neck and put his head in the water. And he was struggling, he was lose his breath. And he said, Guru released him, and he went out and said, Guru Maharaj, what are you doing? You want to kill me? He said, no. What did you want when you were underwater? I wanted very, very much to breathe. I wanted air. You see, when your desire to attain Krishna is as strong as your desire to breathe, Krishna will appear. So to be successful in anything, even as a materialist in business, you need to have a strong desire. And you need to be ready to do anything. Sometimes a young devotee comes to me and says, oh, I like this bhaktin. She's so beautiful. She's so Krishna conscious. And I like her soul. By the way, she's beautiful, but I like her soul. I say, if you like her soul, why don't you fall in love with the older Mataji? She also has a beautiful soul. She has even a beautiful voice. So if you close your eyes, you may have an impression that she's younger. So he said, well, don't torture me, Akrura. I fell in love. let me dream in illusion at least for some time. So I say, okay, so you really love her? Yeah. Yes, 100%. I'm convinced. For the first time in my life, I fell in love. I really fell in love. These other things were a little bit fake. And I say, so what are you ready to do to get her? Oh, I don't know, I'm shy, you know, and I don't want to push anybody, I don't want to disturb the authorities. So you don't want this, you don't want that, so how do you think you will get her? Well, I don't know, I'm going just to suffer, I'm going just to cry and suffer. So you are a great warrior. You are fighting for the hand of a princess by just lamenting. So, but you are laughing, but we are doing the same thing with our goals, with our business goals, with our this, with our that, with our money. Devotee comes to me and says, I have no money. So I ask him, do you work? Well, there is no work. I mean, there is no job. So, you know, the greatest secret of making money is to work. You know that? To do something. I told you this story last time, 2 weeks ago, when I was giving class here. My friend Marshall Goldsmith, he's an executive coach. He works like an ass for the last 50 years. And he's number one, you know, leadership coach and executive coach. And two young boys who just graduating from the university, they approached him and said, Marshall, when we graduate, when we get our diploma, we are going to be like you. And he said, you're going to be like me? Do you know what I did to come where I am now? To get to the place where I am now? Well, you traveled, you had a lot of sessions. Yes, how many? Like, so, you know, people want quick success without work. So this is also, on the battlefield of life, this is also necessary to understand. In order to achieve anything, we have to make an effort. So what is our success formula? Is personal effort plus Lord's mercy equals success. In the material world, they say, you can do everything by desire and by work. But we know that results will depend on Krishna. So we have to understand how this war, how we can fight the war against Maya. And I have prepared for you and anybody in ISKCON or outside ISKCON who would like to have it, prepared a little guide, which I also mentioned before. It's called Spiritual Partnership Guide or Devotee Success Partnership Guide, where I have given you ideas how two devotees can help each other succeed by regularly, at least once a week, meeting regularly and listening to each other and discussing about your challenges, your goals. We can practice also how to do this spiritual partnership and how you can help each other be very, very powerful spiritual warriors. So thank you very much. We have like 2-3 minutes for one question if you want about this topic. And I wish you all the best in your battlefield of life, which is also a battlefield of love. Thank you. So do you have any questions? Or one question we have? And then in 5:30 we finish.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a beautiful lecture and waking up class. I have one question. When you were talking about Krishna telling to Arjuna that is to die is better than to be in fame, right? And is this lesson for us that it's important what others think on us, about us? Like that I need to care about how people think about me?
Well, if these are people whom you trust and who are your well-wishers, you should be concerned what they think about you. If they are your well-wishers and if you trust them, then I think you should be concerned about what they think about what you do and what you think and how you feel. But not anybody. Why would I care about everyone? But just people who are important to me and people who care about me, then I'm concerned what they think about me. I want them to think nice about me, to be to be satisfied, to be happy with me. And I'm concerned what Krishna thinks about me, I'm concerned what Srila Prabhupada thinks of me, I'm concerned what serious devotees think of me, and I'm going to ask them for advice. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. There is 2 more minutes, so yes? Who?
Thank you for an inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask, when you mentioned about the goal setting, that we should also discuss our goals. So I would just like to ask you, besides the determination to fulfill our goals, how to make sure to the greatest extent possible that our goals will actually bring us to Krishna. So how to make sure that we put our goals constructively for our spiritual development?
How to what?
How to make sure that our goals will be good for our spiritual development, so that we won't choose some goals based on material desires that would lead us away from Krishna.
This is exactly why I have created this guide, so that you have a spiritual partner, or you can also have some senior devotees as your mentor or coach, and then you can discuss with them what is Krishna conscious, what goal is Krishna conscious, and how to engage your conditioned nature in Krishna consciousness, and gradually, because you cannot immediately jump high, but how to gradually engage your conditioned nature in Krishna consciousness and become purified. Okay? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.